Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
We are here today to cross over the finish line, so to speak, in our unhindered campaign in the sense of our commitment. Then we have a 3-year period of time that we want to give and to be a part of seeing our indebtedness overcome and eliminated. I'd like to ask you to take your Bibles and open them to our passage that we have claimed, which is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. In 1924, Eric Little, the Scottish sprinter, made news by refusing to run on Sunday, and as a result, he missed being able to run in the 100 meters. He ended up winning in the 200 meters. They made a major motion picture called Chariots of Fire, one of my favorite movies about his life and the impact of his life, and it won an Academy Award. But in that movie, they're contrasting two lives. They're contrasting the life of Eric Little, who ran with such freedom. As a matter of fact, he ran and he would tilt his head back if you ever saw that movie. By the way, if you hadn't seen it, you need to. But anyway, I showed it to some of our college students one time here at North Central. I told them, you've got to come to my house and watch Chariots of Fire. And they came, and I think it bored them. But anyway, it was a... they contrasted in that film two lives. Eric Little, who ran with freedom, and he put his head back when he really got going in a sprint. And he told some folks, he said, you know, when I run, I feel his pleasure. He just ran with abandon, arms flailing. And they contrasted him with Harold Abrahams, who was the British runner, who was consumed with winning. And a portion of that film, Harold Abrahams is watching film from previous Olympics, and they're talking about an American sprinter named Jackson Schultz, who lost the 100 meters because he looked at the last minute. One of the fundamental truths of winning a sprint is to keep your eyes straight ahead and never look to the side, but always focus on the finish. Well, they had a picture of him that at the very last minute he looked and another sprinter went on ahead and he lost the gold medal because he looked. I think every generation runs the risk, ladies and gentlemen, of doing something to be distracted, looking, so to speak, in another direction rather than focusing on the race that is set before that generation to get the gospel to the next generation. I think that truth can be applied to you as an individual, to us as individuals. We run the risk, if we're not careful, to take our eyes off of Jesus Christ and to look at other things around us, to be distracted from the task that God has given us. I think a church can do that. There are churches, many churches today, ladies, churches are, many of them are having very difficult times because at one time they were a gospel soul-saving station and now they're not. They're just barely meeting because they have lost the passion with which they had once preached. And so I want us to look at our passage today, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and I want us to find the way that we can finish the race. How do you finish the race? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, before I read verse 2, where it says, lay aside every weight, in the NIV version it uses the word unhindered, where we got our theme. A weight is something that's not necessarily a sin. Because notice it says, lay aside every weight and the sin. So the writer of Hebrews is telling us that in order to win the race, we've got to first of all lay aside our sin. If there is known sin in your life, known sin in my life, we can't ever expect to win the race that we're in for Jesus Christ with that sin. But he also says in order to win, we have to lay aside weights. Weights are perhaps even good things that get in the way, perhaps decisions that we have made, things that weight us down. It has been the conclusion of our church over the last 5 years that we needed to eliminate our indebtedness. I think we have seen this as a church as a weight, not necessarily a sinful thing. The church made this commitment over 10 years ago when it moved to this location, invested millions of dollars in this property, in these buildings. People that have gone before us have sacrificed, they have given. Just like we are asking you to sacrifice, we are asking ourselves right now as a church to sacrifice to pay off this debt. They sacrificed lots of money, lots of time, lots of effort. But we've come to the point where we feel like now at this moment, it's time to eliminate this indebtedness because it is a weight. The amount of interest that we pay could be used for our mission, for our ministry. The 19% of our budget that we spend on debt service could be used and refocused upon ministry that means so much to us. And so we see here that we are to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And then it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jackson Schultz looked at another runner. He lost the race. He was to look straight ahead in that sprint. For us to win our race, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. He gives us the formula in verse 2 of how to win the race, how to run the race, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I love this whole picture of an athletic contest. At one point, I thought I was somewhat of an athlete. I think sometimes all guys think that. And they are, you know, I thought I could win at this, thought I could win at that. But an athletic, the concept of an athletic contest intrigues me, the challenge of it. I love challenges anyway. With Veterans Day coming, I thought about the guy that went to the high school assembly for the military. And they had all the branches of the military there, and so they had a one-hour assembly. They brought in all the high schoolers, and the principal said, now look, there's only one thing I have to request, and that is we have to get out after an hour. There's no question about it. We have to get out after an hour. So Army, I'm giving you 15 minutes. Air Force, I'm giving you 15 minutes. Navy, I'm giving you 15 minutes, and then Marines, you'll be the last one. I'll give you 15 minutes, so we'll get out after an hour. Well, the Army guy got up there, and he just went a little over. He took 17 minutes. Well, the Navy guy said, well, hey, if he took 17, I'm not going to take up any less. I'm not going to make up his time. So he got up. He took 19 minutes. The Air Force guy got up and said the same thing. He said, Vance, he said, I'm not going to let the Army or the Navy take up my time. He said, I'm going to take the time I need. So he talked about the Air Force, how these students maybe should consider joining the Air Force. He took 21 minutes. You do the math. It adds up to 57 minutes. The principal leaned over to the Marine and he said, excuse me, sir. He said, I'm so sorry, but we have to get to the next class. You have 3 minutes. The Marine stood up and he walked to the podium, and for 2 minutes, it was like you could hear a pin drop. He just looked at the crowd. When he had a minute left, he said, "I've been looking over this crowd of students here today, and it appears that there might be one or two of you who have what it takes to be a United States Marine. If you're interested, meet me at the table I have set up over here. You're dismissed." Nobody went to the other tables. They all went to the Marine table. Why? Because we love a challenge. We love a contest. We love the challenge of something. And ladies and gentlemen, we are embarking on a great challenge in this church. Can I say this to you? This church has never backed down from a challenge in its past. You go back and you read the history of this church. It has never backed down from a challenge. We're facing a challenge. We're in a race. Some days are more historic. Some days are more significant than others. Can I say this to you? You're here today on a historic day. I had a friend named Ray Braddock who served in World War II, and he was an elderly fella that sold us some land when we built a home on the north side of Jacksonville, and he was an awesome guy. He served over in the Middle East, and he said that Montgomery, the British general, he stood up in front of his men and he said, "Men, we're going to battle tomorrow." He said, "You can tell your sons and daughters you served in the British 8th Army." And Mr. Braddock said, "Man, those guys were so pumped about going into war because of the leadership of that general who challenged them." Well, can I say this to you? This is just not another service today. This is a significant time in the life of our church because this will set a course. Listen, this will set a course for our future. The freedom that can come to our fellowship in the years ahead for future generations is going to be powerful. And so, how do you finish looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God? Now, let me say this to you. We are going to make commitments in just a few minutes. And I want you to know that some of your leaders have had some meetings, and they have decided, they have made some early commitments. We asked this of our church staff. We asked this of some of our leaders. We invited any in the church that wanted to come to these banquets, but we had a couple of banquets where we had folks that said, "Would you be willing to pray and to give?" And I want you to know that with about 20% of our families that have already committed, we already have commitments for Unhindered of $351,960. With about 20% of our families committed. Now, what is amazing is that God has blessed us with our previous Above and Beyond program. We had money left over from that. And then the Lord gave us a special gift that was unexpected of over $260,000. We had some other monies that were in future expansion. All of these monies, we have done everything we can do to guard them and to put them away and aside to go with our Unhindered campaign. So when you take the commitments of families that have already committed for the Unhindered campaign, and you take the monies that we already have in cash, we already have a commitment of $744,414. I think that deserves a big amen. I want you to think about the impact of North Central as we watch this video.
Objective that we have will absolutely afford the church its best opportunity to be good stewards and the use of the Lord's money.
In my view, the Unhindered program frees future generations from the obligations that we have incurred so that they can have greater freedom to do the mission of the church here in Gainesville. And that can be a multitude of endeavors, from missions to evangelism to discipleship to taking care of the needs of, and not even sure what those needs will be 3 years from now, but we'll have the freedom to have flexibility to do whatever the Lord places on our heart at that time. So I think it's a great endeavor and something we ought to do.
So before coming to college, I had grown up in the church, and I knew when coming to college, my first thing I needed to do was find a campus ministry and find a local church, because I've been embedded into my brain since the day I was born, find a church, find a church, find a church. So I came to college, having kind of been burned by my home church, not really loving church, thinking church was just somewhere you go on a Sunday to hear a pastor say something encouraging or convicting and kind of go about your day. And I was told my whole first week of college, I was supposed to get as much free food as I possibly could. And I had gotten nothing free so far. I got no free food, no free shirts, nothing. So I saw this big sign that said, free lunch. And I said, well, if it's still there after class, I'll go, because I was a little nervous. So I was walking back after class, and it was still there, and I said, okay, I guess I'm going to go. So I walked in, and it happened to be North Central that was serving lunch at the VCM. So I talked to Miss Christy, and I talked to Eddie, and he was just telling me about what it was all about. So I ended up going to North Central that first week. Didn't fall in love because I didn't know what I was looking for. Went to a bunch of different churches in the area for a couple months, and finally I got an email from Matt Seitz saying, hey, Tiffany, just checking in, seeing if you found a local church. I just wanted to make sure you're plugged in and growing. And I said, Matt, I'm going to be honest, I'm not. I haven't found a church that I like, and I'm not plugged in, and I'm not growing. And he said, why don't you come back to North Central one more time? And I said, okay, I'll try it. So I came back to North Central, and that Sunday morning in Sunday school, we were talking about what is the church and why God loves the church, and like why Christ died for the church, not the church of the building and the place you go on a Sunday morning and you sing a couple songs and you leave, but the actual church. And I was blown away, and I started realizing the church that I had kind of manifested in my mind of this place you just go on a Sunday was not at all what church was. Church was a place that you plug in and you find community and you grow alongside one another and you push each other closer to Christ. And I kind of decided that day on, I said, okay, North Central's my place. This is where I'm going. And Matt and Jess kind of took me under their wing. I was the only girl in the freshman Sunday school class, so me and Jess Seitz kind of became best friends immediately, and I grew more in my first month at North Central than I've grown in my entire walk with God. And in high school, everyone always tells you, you know, when you go to college, you're gonna change. And what they meant for bad, they meant that for me, that I was gonna start drinking and I was gonna start partying and I was gonna turn into this crazy girl. So what they meant for evil, God meant for good, because I am in no way the same person that I was 2-3 years ago when I was in high school who I am now today. And it's so amazing to see that when you kind of just let your guard down and just let God kind of work on your heart, he'll just change you completely into the person he made for you to be and not for the person that you thought he wanted you to be. And so North Central has meant so much to me in my faith. And before coming to college, I don't know if I was saved. I don't know when I became a Christian for real, but I know since coming to college, I've put my faith in Christ, and I know what that actually means now, and I know what it means to fall in love with the church and to fall in love with Jesus and not just know who he is, but to have him know me also.
Think how God, amen. Think how God can use us throughout the world. So how do we fix our eyes on Jesus? First of all, we've got the word to where it says, look unto Jesus. It means our gaze is only straight ahead and it is not on other things. Jesus Christ is our guide. Why? Because he's the author. That word means he's the originator and he's the founder. It has with it the idea that Jesus is our champion. Now, he's gone through the writer of Hebrews and listed all these people in Hebrews 11 that are our heroes of the faith. They're our witnesses. And yet, we have one champion, Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, our eyes have to be fixed on our guide. It's not just our gaze, it's our guide. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we receive grace, because it says there at the end of verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There are three reasons this is significant. When you think about the grace we receive from the Lord, first of all, when it says sat down, that's at the end of that verse in the original language to give it emphasis. Jesus' work is finished. He died on that cross. He rose from the grave. He paid the penalty for our sin, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So it's significant that the way it was worded there. But also it means he has sat down. It's in the perfect tense, which means that it gives it emphasis. And then in Psalm 110, verse 1, the scripture says this, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. So he's drawing upon that example from the book of Psalms. Jesus is our guide. We are to keep our eyes on him. And ladies and gentlemen, really, when you have Jesus, you have everything you need. Amen? The scripture says in Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So here we are as we conclude the public phase of our giving campaign we've called Unhindered. We're about to enter into the giving phase beginning on the 23rd of November. But today is the finish line to the public phase and the challenge. So at this time, I would like to ask our greeters and those that have these cards if they would hand out these packets to the tables. And I'd like to ask if when you get that packet, if you'll just take a pen and take a card, an envelope, and open that up, and I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the card that is there. And I'm going to need one of those cards from my table. If y'all could help me get these cards out to the folks quickly. In just a moment, if you'll just take that card out, make sure you have a pen. Now, if you have indicated a previous commitment, I want you to go ahead and turn one of these in again, okay? I promise you I won't double your commitment, okay? But you go ahead and turn one of these in again. And I want to encourage you to ask the Lord exactly what you are to give. I want to encourage you to realize that it's not equal gifts that we are praying for, but equal sacrifice. If you look on the back of this card, you see that if you there's kind of a guideline there that if you give that certain amount per week or monthly, you can tell what your gift is. But I want you to take that card and go ahead and make sure you fill out the bottom, your name and your address and the information there at the bottom. And then I want you to take some time. We're going to give you some time to maybe lean over and talk to your spouse. Maybe you have already discussed this. But this is a time for our whole church family to make our commitments. My prayer is that all of us would participate in some way. My prayer is that we would ask the Lord to give us a faith number. A number that the Lord will move in order for us to meet that commitment. I want you to know that you can give a number of ways. You can do it weekly. You can do it monthly. You can just put the total and you can give it at any time during the 3 years. Sometimes there's a little shaded area there in the middle that is to be used if you have some type of item that you can give. You'd be surprised how many times people have given different things, stuff. And if you have something that you would be willing to sacrifice to give for this Unhindered campaign, I want to encourage you to do that. But church family, I encourage you to just do what Jesus wants you to do. That's all I can. I think that is the commitment of our lives. That has been the commitment of this church. So I'd like to ask our musicians just to play for a moment. I'm going to come back and give you instructions about how we're going to come and place these in the chest. But I want you to take some time and pray and ask God to give you direction about what you are to do. Kelly and I have prayed about this. We're making a commitment that, quite honestly, I don't know how well it adds up on paper, but I know that God is going to bless us because I saw him do this in the Above and Beyond campaign. So let's take a moment and just be still. And you pray about what God would have you to do in our Unhindered campaign. And I'll give you instructions in just a moment of how we're going to bring those to the chest. Joash was the king. Joash decided that the temple needed work. And so the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 24, verse 8, then the king's command, they made a chest and they set it outside the gate of the house of the Lord, and they made a proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem to bring to the Lord the collection that Moses and the servant of God had imposed on Israel in the wilderness. Then all the leaders and the people rejoiced and brought their contributions and put them into the chest until all had given. We have a replica of the chest of Joash. And so today, we're going to ask you as families, as individuals, to come and bring your commitment to the Unhindered campaign and place it in this chest. This is also the place where you place your regular giving, your tithes and offerings, and then if we have guests here today, if you filled out that guest card, you're welcome to come and let that be your offering. So everything we collect today will be collected in this chest. Today is a significant day, church family. There's some days that are unique days. God is at work in the life of our church. As we think about that, we're trying to raise $1.2 million and we already have commitments and money equal. It's interesting that for 3 years we put on our bulletin $744,000 was our goal for Above and Beyond. That's what we have today. With the monies that have already been given and with the commitments that have been made early, we have $744,000 that's been committed to this program. I encourage you, don't miss out on the blessing of giving. We're really giving, when you think about it, we're giving because we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we love what Jesus has done in the life of this fellowship. I think Charlie Howard from Campbell College preached here at one point. Dr. Charlie Howard was at Campbell College, and he preached revivals all over the South. He told the story of doing a wedding for a farmer. His name was John, and so Farmer John married this farmer girl. She was a girl raised on a farm, and they didn't have any money. He didn't have any diamonds to give her. His wife said, John, if you ever get up enough money, I'd love to have a string of pearls. And so that touched Farmer John. He he loved his wife and he wanted to be a blessing to her. And so he began to save a little bit here and there. He even decided, I'm going to give up tobacco. And every time he thought about he was going to go buy tobacco, he put his money in his tobacco pouch. His tobacco pouch became his money pouch. Well, it took him a long time, and as the years went on, his wife got sick and became an invalid. And Charlie Howard tells a story of going to one of their anniversaries, and Farmer John had his wife there and said, honey, I've got something for you. And he sat her down and he opened up that pouch and he pulled out a string of pearls. And he gave her that string of pearls. And she said, John, are they real? He said, you better believe they're real. She said, they're so beautiful, John. Why did you do it? And Charlie Howard said that he saw that big farmer get down on his knees and bury his head in the lap of his wife and say, I did it just because I love you. And ladies and gentlemen, can I say this to you? You can't do this for the pastor. You can't do this even just for this church. It's a gut check in my life. It's a gut check in your life. Why are we giving sacrificially? Why would we give up something in order to give extra? Because of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible says they came to the chest and they put their gifts in the chest and it overflowed with the blessings of God. You know your commitment is confidential between you and God. But ultimately, it's because of our love for Jesus that we do what we do. So at this time, in a spirit of prayer, as you feel led from wherever you are in this place, I want you to come and I want you to place your gifts in the chest.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.